everyone, welcome back to my second podcast. So, gave it some thought last week and came up with the idea that this podcast should be called Marketing Rambles by James. I think it's a rather fitting title considering how much I ramble on these videos. Continuing on from the theme from last week, which was five of the most common questions that I get as a marketing person when talking to businesses and individuals trying to get better at marketing. So, number one is going to be about, this week is going to be five common mistakes that I see as a marketing person when talking to businesses, individuals, or people just trying to get better in general. So, number one, chasing tactics and not strategy. So what I mean by that, so if you kind of copy the latest trends, so say everybody's just jumped on TikTok and they're all doing like crazy dance videos and stuff like that, but you have no long-term strategy or plan, that's what I mean. So, you know, it's like, I think famously everybody remembers like the ice bucket challenge, and that was like a thing that everybody did. And it boosted probably a lot of people's pages just by accident and things like that, as well as it being a great thing for charity and stuff and awareness and all of that. But like the long term of that, it is quite a complex thing. So yeah, so the advice I would say is not to copy trends and just think of the long term strategy. So to give you some context, I don't follow any trends. I'm pretty boring in regards to my strategy, at least for this business that I've got. So me coaching, helping businesses like yourselves and individuals like you. So I actually don't really follow any trends at all. I am quite boring. There's certain people I follow that inspire me. So I've kind of adopted some of their things and I think it works really well. So I don't follow trends and I have a long-term strategy, making long-form content, growing my email list, and taking it from there, really. I chose one or two channels to hang out on, and I've got a few people that I follow for inspiration. So if you're someone who struggles with doing lots of things at once, like myself, it's a good thing to do, just to be super on point. Pick your channels, pick your identity, pick your goal and your plan, just go with that. Okay, number two, what I see as a common mistake that people make when they're creating their offering, things like that. So no clear offer. So what do I mean? So if your website is confusing and doesn't really lead anyone anywhere, you're a bit stuck. So I think a great example is you see these businesses nowadays, like little ones that sort of start on an idea and they'll kind of grow overnight. And the reason they grow overnight is because they'll do something really simple and they'll execute it brilliantly. So what I mean by that is, a good example is there was a guy who was selling basically MIDI templates of himself playing piano. And instead of kind of growing a website and doing things in a really sort of conventional sense, he started with like the likes of, I think the brand is ClickFunnels. It's a great platform if you're just trying to get going with an idea, but it's not sponsored or anything. Gosh, can you imagine? But no, ClickFunnels, yeah. So this company called ClickFunnels, and essentially you can kind of create like, that's how it sounds really, a funnel. It's not really a website and it's not really a funnel. It's kind of in between, but it acts as a website. So people go on it and they go, oh yeah, this is a website, and everything feels kind of as it should. But yeah, getting back to my point, the guy created these bundles. So he would incentivize you to buy these bundles of piano MIDIs that he's created with his style and his groove, things like that. And then you would kind of be upsold. So you kind of go through and it'd be like, I know, entry level freebie. And it's like, oh, you know, while you're on this page and you've seen this like freebie, free like piano guide, you know, 10 best chords in a scale or something. And then from there, he'd offer you like his top 10 sort of MIDI after that. And that'd be like $50. And then you'd purchase that and it'd be like, oh, why are you here? Why didn't you get the whole lot for like $150? So it's like, so then you go onto that page and then you'd go kind of go through that and then you would try again, which I thought was quite brave actually. I mean, he's done really well out of it, I believe. I'm not really sure. I think it's kind of fully formed into a new website, like proper website, like a brand now. But in the beginning, it was very like, you'd like a tape together, bootstrapped together, which was brilliant to see and effective. And he grew his email list as well. He'd email regularly, be like, oh, hey, you know, so you purchased that like last week and I've got a new bundle out, or I've got a new version of what you've purchased. So it'd be like volume one, volume two, volume three, things like that. So yeah, so I think what I'm saying is he was super clear on what he was offering. So it's like his call to action was, hey, you want piano MIDIs for your productions, music productions, things like that. And it was like, come to this place, click here, do the thing. That's it. Download, join the email list, but you kind of had to join the email list to receive the products. So it was like this kind of brilliant cycle of giving and receiving. So yeah, perfect execution. And I believe other people in my field anyway, like Sabri Subi, things like that, are a strong advocate for things like ClickFunnels and stuff like that. And I've listened to interviews and things of that nature. He's kind of been very positive about it. And I think it was an e-commerce lady, I think it's Wholesale Ted, the channel. She is an e-commerce kind of guru kind of thing. She's an advocate of Shopify and things like that. And she was very positive about this whole kind of ethos, you know, straight to the point, get it going. So yeah, that was number two. Point two of common mistakes that I see, not being clear and not offering a clear call to action. So I guess to finish off, to kind of bring it all around full circle, to give some context to myself, so a call to action for someone like myself, it would be like, you know, join my discovery call, and that would be really clear and concise. So I could create like a ClickFunnels or something out of that. So it could be, you know, go through the application process, because there is a small form that I need people to fill out when they ask to kind of work with me, so I can kind of gauge where they're at and what they're about. But from there, you can kind of do things, you know, you can kind of grow them into more of a customer before the initial call and things like that. So this is what I mean, you know, super clear, straight to the point, call to action. And I mean, some people don't want to do anything, you know, they don't want to purchase or anything, and that's completely fine. And I suppose that's the downside of having a kind of perfectly executed funnel and call to action and a way of converting, because a lot of the time, if you're converting traffic into something of that nature, into kind of a customer, the psychology and kind of limiting where those people can go. So if you've ever noticed, whenever you purchase anything online and it's like a digital product or something, it'll be like this amazing like one page spread of content and reviews and stuff like that. And then there'll be nothing else. Like it'll be like, you can't go anywhere else. You can't contact them outside of that page. You can't go to the homepage. You can't look at their blog. You know, you can't literally do anything. And it's by design that. So it's to keep you engaged in that page. It's kind of like the horse kind of analogy with the blind, where they put the blinders on to keep them from getting distressed. So it's like kind of like this, so you can't see. Anyway, so number three, common mistake, inconsistent content output. So starting strong. So I see lots of new people, they kind of start strong. I mean, I'm not perfect. I mean, I've kind of started my brand back in December and I've been particularly bad, and I've been trying to get better and being consistent, as you may have noticed with the YouTube channel and this podcast and stuff. Thank you for watching, obviously. But yeah, so for example, so people will start strong and they'll write like two or three blogs, or they'll write like 10 social media posts in like a week, and then they'll get burnout and they'll vanish, and then they'll go back to it and that momentum is lost to all intents and purposes. So I think what I'm saying here is for number three, inconsistent content output, is to pick a strategy and go with it and just try and stick to it as much as you can. Show up is what I'm saying. So I've adopted this analogy in my own life of sticking to something now and kind of just trying to show up. Even if I don't feel like it, I'm just going to show up on these things. So things like going to the gym, you know, it's like I don't really want to go to the gym, so it's like, I'll go to the gym. Even if I just sit there on a treadmill or something, like, I'm there, you know, psychology. With content creation, it's the same kind of deal. It's like, if you're going to start, but try and start in a way that you can adopt and stick with. Because at the end of the day, like, your audience expects a certain level of output from you. And they expect more or less the same kind of rhythm. I mean, you can deviate a little bit more as you get more established, but yeah. I mean, it's hard. I mean, in my day job, you know, you've got to kind of keep that consistency of creating the same kind of content over and over again that's effective and useful to the people that are looking at it. And it can get difficult to kind of come up with new ideas all of the time. And sometimes you don't need to. Sometimes you can just put like filler content in there and you can repost something and just kind of put your own spin on it. Or you could create something that you've created before and spin it around and do something new with it, which I'd recommend if you were completely stuck. Rather than doing nothing, I would post something, but create, if you had something that was maybe a bit not quite as you wanted it to be, like a video or something, and you did it like when you first started your brand or whatever, like just do it again. But like put like your new, everything you've learned into that, and it will show and people will resonate with it. Especially if it's 3 or 4 months later. Okay, yeah, I think that was pretty self-explanatory. So yeah, starting strong and then vanishing. Yeah, I see that quite a bit. Yeah, so on to the next thing. Let's get some water because my throat is going. Okay, so number four thing, common mistake that I see is to rely only on social media. So in this day and age with the likes of TikTok and Instagram and things like that, it can feel like you should just use those platforms and those platforms only. And truth is, you really want to branch out into different things. So if you have a brand and you're trying to grow, you really don't want to stick to one platform because it's particularly risky. And the reason it's risky is because all it takes is for the algorithm to change slightly. Instagram is a big one for that, and somehow it always comes out in the wash what they've changed. So for example, for a long time, reels were like the thing. Like everyone was like, oh yeah, do reels. You can grow your brand with reels. Do reels, 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 reels. And then all of a sudden, someone's like, no, it's carousels now. And if you don't know what a carousel is, that's fine. But basically it's just like a picture slideshow. And I was like, what? So it changed, and you get algorithm bumps and stuff from using those particular things that it wants you to use. So it's a good example. I mean, I was trained when I did my training in social media, and when I was training to get ready for my role as a marketing person, this guy, and he was like, you know, if you don't keep an eye on things for 3 or 6 months or something like that. I mean, everything changes in every like 3 to 6 months. So, you know, you could start 3 months on Instagram and just do like reels. And then the next month, you could do reels and reels and reels and reels and reels. And then the next month after that, that kind of growth curve you could see could just be absolutely slashed in half just with the nature of the way that the algorithms work. So I'm pretty sure these platforms do it on purpose because they're trying to keep it somewhat even and fair gain. So like it's something you can do to better your brand or whatever. Like, you know, if you're good enough to keep an eye on things, it'll reward you. And I'm pretty certain that's the way all of these social platforms are engineered, and that's how the algorithms are, because they're kind of constantly shifting things in the way that they want them to be. Which is fine. I mean, they control the platforms at the end of the day. And that's part of the reason that neglecting other channels is risky. Because as these platforms change and adopt different ideas, I mean, like, YouTube, for example, I think it's been heavily criticized lately because I think the guys in charge trying to kind of use AI a little bit more, and it's still a bit of early days with AI, and I think people are a little bit worried that AI is just going to start like taking content for people and all of that kind of stuff, but that's something else. That's another thing too. So if you were someone who was making AI content on YouTube, for example, like that's suddenly getting squashed. So they don't want AI slop, as they've called it. Which I think it's a really funny term, but they've decided to call it AI slop. So when someone is making lots and lots of content with AI and they're not really humanizing it or doing it in a kind of platform friendly way, so they're not kind of meeting the values, I would say, of that platform. So YouTube kind of started out as a place for people to share things, share ideas and stuff. So if you fill it with full of AI and AI slop, as they call it, it's the ideas lost. So they're going to start penalizing those kind of actions. Whereas initially people were kind of touting those things as like, you know, faceless channels, and you can grow a faceless channel overnight and get thousands and thousands of dollars a month. That's all going to stop soon because things are catching up and things are changing. So, prime example, things change all the time. So, a good way to get around this issue is to try and own your channel. I'd say YouTube and things like that is still owned by Google. It's a platform, it's owned by someone else. The only true kind of ways to own your channel of influence and sphere of audience is to kind of bring them in. So what do I mean? So it's like old school stuff. So like, I know it might be a Rolodex of phone numbers of people, which is a bit, it's not really appropriate for kind of digital content creation style businesses and things. But like, if you are a conventional business and you're worried about losing sort of face with people, you know, old school phone communication is still valid and it's not going anywhere. That's the kind of thing that I mean, you know, if you're going to own like your audience, that's one way to do it. So it's kind of daft things like having your contacts in your phone. That's a prime example of what an owned audience is like. The most common comparable to that in digital space is email. Like, unless you really offend someone or you upset the algorithms that dictate spam and stuff like that, you've got a pretty strong chance of keeping in touch with your audience via email. So you grow your email list, and rarely do people change emails. I mean, if you change emails and you ever have done, it's a pain in the butt. So don't try. Don't do it unless you really need to. So, great example, email, growing that. So email marketing, I would do that alongside everything else that you do as a brand moving forward, just so that you don't cause yourself issues along the way. So, and that brings us on to my fifth point of the video and the podcast even, I would say. So number five, so we've covered numerous things. So number one was chasing tactics, not strategy. Number two was not having a clear call to action or offer. Number three was inconsistent content or output, so vanishing like overnight like this. And four was neglecting other channels and just sticking to one and relying on social media, which is just, it's the most dynamic thing ever, and it still is and it still will be, even with AI. I mean, in my own experience, I've noticed a lot of AI-driven content, which I think is looks realistic, but it's slightly alarming at the same time. Anyway, so number five is trying to be everywhere and reaching no one. So what do I mean? If you're trying to be everywhere, you're going to reach no one. So you kind of need a focus with your messaging. So is it, are you someone that makes videos to talk to your audience? Like myself, that's what I want to do. I want to make videos and I want to speak to you guys one-on-one. That's what I'm about. So marketing, coaching, and speaking to you one-on-one in person or over video, that's me. That's what I've chosen. So rather than kind of trying to be everywhere, I'm trying to kind of stick with like the likes of YouTube. I think Instagram, I quite like Instagram. Even even though it's really hard to grow. I think it's really difficult to grow on Instagram, personally. Anyone knows, I mean, people are free to disagree with me in the comments and stuff, but I just really think it's so difficult. I mean, the stuff I see and I'm like, they've only got like 100,000 followers, and I'm like, this brand is amazing. Why have they got so few followers? So yeah. So, trying to be everywhere, reaching no one, no audience clarity or messaging focus. So, how can you get around this fifth and final mistake? So yeah, as I said, just pick a platform, go with it, and try and be very clear on what you're about. Are you someone who makes videos? Are you someone who likes to email? Do you like writing? There's a kind of crypto guy that I've seen before, and he just kind of does a newsletter, and he has a paid and free version. So you could do stuff like that. If you're a keen writer, you could grow. I mean, it kind of relies on email, so you've got to just make sure your brand is okay as far as email is concerned. I might do like a technical video in the future where I can discuss some of these things in great detail. It might not be in the podcast though. The long and short of it is if you are deemed as spam by a recipient's email provider, so like Hotmail or Outlook or whatever, you and your brand are not going to get in their inbox. Simple as that. But there are ways around it, and there are solutions that you can use to help. But that's a deep, deep topic for another video. Anyway, or another podcast. So, ladies and gentlemen, trying to be everywhere and reaching no one. No audience clarity or messaging focus. So how do you get around that? So be super clear on what you're offering. So be super clear on the kind of format that you want to portray yourself on. And most people want to make content. I think everybody should make content in some way, even if you think it's not relevant. Like, some really odd stuff is really popular. And I think, yeah, even if you're not making videos, you could do something else, do podcasts, I'm kind of doing a hybrid approach. I want to do video/podcast. So here it is. Hi, I'm here. This is me. Took me about a week or so to come up with a name for this podcast, but yeah, Marketing Rambles, and I think that shows in the way that I've been talking to you guys. Anyway, so be super clear on the channels that you want to show up on, be consistent, and yeah, I mean, try and figure out what that ideal person is that your brand is the most suited to help as well. So get really clear on the kind of person that you're talking to. So for me, it's someone like you, solopreneur, business owner, someone who's struggling with marketing, might just be in general, might do it for a day job, I'm not sure what, need some ideas. That's you, the listener. So, and I hope you're enjoying this so far. I mean, this is only my second, so I'm still a bit rusty. My voice is going, I've been talking for 25 minutes now already. So as I say, last week, if you're interested, I'll leave a link maybe in the show notes or something. The last podcast was all about 5 common questions that I get as someone who helps businesses and things like that with marketing. So it's like things like, how often should I post? Things like that. It's all there. And this one's all about mistakes. And yeah, 5 common mistakes I see. And yeah, leave me a comment. I think I should wrap it up, because I think I'm starting to ramble too much for this podcast. So leave me a comment down below and let me know if this helped you. And yeah, I've also got bits of coaching and things like that, but I won't say that on this video. I think I've said it too much. So I'll leave links to all those kind of things down below. And yeah, if you have any feedback for me, help me improve this podcast a little bit, let me know. All the best, take care, and carry on growing your business.